I'm Beryl Johnson. I was born in 1931, and I am the daughter of a West Riding local authority head of home. Started off with the big workhouses. And
When you were born, your father was working at the Doncaster?
Yes, mum and dad. They were assistant master and matron. They were joint appointments in those days. Very often, you probably know. Yeah, they were there.
Right, then they moved to.
Bing.
Was this Penistone?
It might have been. That's it. Yes, that's right. Thank you. I've been trying to remember that name all day. Yes, they went up there as master and matron, which got them into the West Riding. Of course, I was a small child at that time, being born in 1931. And I think we went, if I'm right, went from there to Clayton, Bradford. Yeah, that's right. And stayed there until just before the war. And we then came to Dewsbury, which I have the general impression everybody in, you know, high places were waiting for the then master and matron to retire, because I think they had stuck themselves firmly in about the 19th century. And I think that everybody, the high and the county hall, thought the sensible thing to do was to wait until they retired.
Right. Do you have any recollection of those earlier places, Penistone and Clayton?
Not Penistone, particularly. Clayton was up a hill, and it was very bad weather in those winters, a lot of snow. And I do know it was said when we were at Penistone, the snow was so deep, my father and other male members of staff had to walk along the wall tops, because the snow was up there, to go and get the milk. But no other way of doing it.
Yes, but I mean, Clayton's quite a big place. There's the big reservoir tearing over it.
Yes, oh, it was a lovely thing, was that? That slope was great to play down. Yes, is it still there? Of course it must be. Don't get rid of those.
Well, it's not a reservoir anymore, but it's the bank is.
The bank is still there, yes. I've not been back, of course.
So then you arrived in Dewsbury?
Then we arrived in Dewsbury, yes. That was in 1st of December 1938. And it was a revelation, I suppose. All the separate blocks were surrounded by walls with iron railings up, and they had a gate which was locked at night, which gave during the day. What happened during the night, if it was an emergency, I do not know, because there were no telephones, no internal telephones. I don't know. That was one of the things, I think, took my father a bit by surprise. And I also know, once a month, the male residents who were capable of walking in the, what they call the male house, those are the relatively able-bodied, they used to have a day out, and he was asked by a member of staff to go and inspect the men before they went out. And they were wearing not what they normally wore, which they produced from the stocks of clothes that people had come in with, and they kept, and these gentleman went out in this random, of clothing, which again didn't suit my father at all. So he ran county supplies and said he'd better send him some just ordinary suits. He thought that the residents ought not to be in any way distinguished from the mass of the population when they got outside the gates. It's not fair to them. And so that was that. I'm sure they County Hall knew what they were doing when they put him there. And it went on like that. The able-bodied women from the female house, as they called it, they worked around the place, some of them in the laundry, because it was quite a self-contained little community, had its own electricity and hot water and heating, hot air heating, and so there was a, you know, place with that big kitchen, because they provided the hospital's food, so all the trolleys came across, might have been heated, to collect the food to take it across. Mostly at lunchtime, it seemed to be, to me, that that was when it happened. And Dewsbury County Borough had so many beds in the establishment, I don't know what it was, which were theirs, and they had to be left vacant for any of their clients, customers, people. And the people used to have to appear before the committee to say why they thought they ought to come in. And they did. Remember the relieving officers that did the, what we would nowadays call field work? You know all about this, don't you? And they were in and out. And on grounds, there was a weighbridge at the bottom of the drive, which I always understood that other businesses could come in and use the weighbridge and pay for the purpose. So that was something that happened up there. That there was accommodation for tramps. They came in the evening, and it was a bit exciting. And the women tended to be far more difficult than the men. And as I've always understood it, many of the men, it was their way of life and profession, if you like. They went round the various things, and they would go to Doncaster when the races were on and whatever, and keep going. And that's what they chose to do. So, you know, that they knew every place, in, you know, place we could go to in the district.
They had their own entrance, didn't they? The back.
They came down the drive from Halifax, the top end of Halifax Road. Down the drive, there was a mill dam on the right-hand side, and the mill, appropriately, on the other side, yes, and then you arrived at the main big iron gate, and the weighbridge was there. And the first of the stone built blocks was on the right-hand side as you got through that gate. And it wasn't used, I don't know why. Somebody must build it, but it didn't move, didn't use. Behind it, there was a red brick building, which was the, for, I don't know what you call them, special block. They were mental cases, various sorts of, they were not to be let loose. And I remember I had a swing somewhere, my side of it, when I was on it, one of them got to the fence and was trying to persuade me to go up to him. And even at that age, I knew better than that. And then, as I said, there was this unused stone on the block, except one of the residents who had been a watchmaker, and they gave him some property, a place at the end of it. Where he could pursue his trade, which was useful to everybody. When the war was coming, we were on holiday in Farley at the time, and we got a telegram to go back. And then the government started appealing for iron to do things with. With a sigh of delight, that delight, my father arranged for all these iron fences to be cut down and departed for the war effort. He didn't do all of it all. So all the blocks were then open, which he enjoyed a lot. And it was the 1st of December 19... When did the war start? 1938, I think. It was very, very close to the beginning of the war. as soon as he had an entirely acceptable excuse to get these things cut down, he did. Must have done the war end no end of good. I was going to go to the Wheelwright Grammar School. It was, they had a kindergarten, and it was felt difficult on both sides for me to go to the same local school that the children in the children's homes went to.
This is the cottage homes across
the cottage road. Homes, that's right, cottage homes, yes. Six of them. It was, you know, it hadn't been a case before because, I did just start school. I went to the kindergarten, taken by train. But that was the reason, not of snobbery, but of making it easy for both sides, really. Could have been difficult, children being what they are. And as I say, the tramps came in, and most of them were very used to coming, and they knew what to do. The women were always more difficult and tended to be drunk. In which case they used to get my bum up to, she wasn't very big. As I say, in the unused block, they gave one or two people who had skills which they could go on using, which was quite sensible. And then the next block, which was inhabited, was female beds downstairs, male beds upstairs, and they were, I think we would call them chronic sick. They weren't able bodied to get out and do things, so you know that they at the end of that block there was the nursery, which was babies up to three, and at three they went up to the children's homes if they were still with us. Sad. And because we landed on Christmas, you see, and many of the not many of them, but some of them, and some of the committee members were genuinely interested in the welfare of the people that they were looking at. Others, who tended to be ladies, were doing their social bit, and obviously had to be treated politely. They had a good Christmas dinner out of it also, which another thing that's annoying my father, because people wanted feeding. And then we lived in the bottom, this long block then, now was the male house at one end, with a men's yard and a row of what I later discovered to be men's lavatories. I was outdoors. And the other side of the block was where the female inmates, that's the word it was, lived. And they went out to do work round about the place, and worked in the laundry, whatever, domestic work round about it. They didn't just sit and twiddle their thumbs. They slept in dormitories. I mean, latterly, my dad made quite an effort to get these split up into smaller bedrooms, but that was after the war. And the kitchen was a hive of activity because it was cooking both for the workers, and I think the hospital used to come across with the heated trolleys to collect the dinner. There was a bakehouse where they made their own bread, and at the bottom, was there something at the bottom? Coal store or something, this long corridor that went to the far side of the kitchen. I can't just remember what it was, but everything the kitchen needed was there. And so they cooked for both things. I don't know whether the engineer's little engineering place, which was still back of it certainly heated the institution with hot air heating going underneath the tunnels and then came up. which was lovely when a mouse or a rat got dead somewhere and the smell that came through was something chopping, but somebody had to go find the corpse. And I don't know, I don't know what happened in hospital heating. I really don't know, because I'd go in.
Let me just check this is functioning.
So where are we? I'm trying to the kitchen was a very, very busy place, cooking for the two establishments in the middle of the day.
What sort of food were they?
I don't know what they'd been having, but my father and mum reckoned they ought to have just ordinary food, proper food, not French cuisine, but what they would perhaps have been used to having, and people, don't have the names that go with working people, you know what I mean, the sort of thing. I think they felt definitely that was what should be on offer. If he decided that was going to be on offer, it would be. I assure you, the kitchen was a very busy place, and